28. Brother Man. Tito and Bianca packaged the contents of his room as 10 parcels of varying sizes, each one double-wrapped in contractor-grade black trash bags and sealed with heavy black tape. This left Tito's mattress, the ironing board, the long-legged chair from Canal Street, and the old iron clothing rack. Bianca, it had been agreed, was taking the ironing board and the chair. The mattress, assumed to contain enough skin flakes and hair for a DNA match, would be on its way to landfill as soon as Tito left the building. Bianca had sealed it in two of the black plastic bags before she'd vacuumed the room. The black bags made a slithering sound now when you sat on the mattress, and Tito would have to sleep on it. Tito touched the nano again on its cord around his neck, grateful to have his music. "We've packed the chainik," he said, "and the kettle. We can't make tea. I don't want to wipe them again. Carlito called Alejandro and I chainiks," Tito told her. "It meant we were ignorant but willing to learn. Do you know that way of using chainik?" "No," Bianca said, looking like a very pretty, very dangerous child under her white paper hairnet. "I only know it to mean teapot. A hacker's word in Russian." "Do you ever think you are forgetting Russian, Tito?" she asked in English. Before he could answer, someone rapped lightly at the door, in protocol. Bianca came out of her crouch on the mattress with a peculiar grace, at once tight and serpentine, to rap a reply. "Brother man," she said, and unlocked the door.
"Hola, viejo," said Brother Man, nodding to Tito and pulling off a black knit headband that served him as earmuffs. He wore his hair in a vertical mass, touched a peculiar dark orange with peroxide. In Brother Man, Juana said, some African had surfaced in the Cuban before mingling with the Chinese. Brother Man exaggerated this now, to his own advantage and that of the family. He was completely ambivalent racially. A chameleon, his Spanish slid deftly between Cuban, Salvadoran, and Chilango, while his black American was often incomprehensible to Tito. He was taller than Tito, and thin, long-faced, the whites of his eyes shot with red.
"Ya Pepe," he greeted Bianca with a nod, backslanging papilla, teenager.
"Hola, brother man, que se cuenta?"
"Same old," said brother man,
bending to catch and squeeze Tito's hand.
"Man of the hour."
"I don't like waiting," Tito said, and stood to shake unease from his back and arms. The bare bulb overhead seemed brighter than ever before. Bianca had wiped it clean.
"But I have seen your sistema, cousin."
Brother Man raised a white plastic shopping bag.
"Carlito sends you shoes."
He passed Tito the bag. The high-topped black shoes still had their white and blue Adidas logo tags. Tito squatted beside the bagged mattress and removed his boots. He laced the Adidas shoes and pulled them on over medium-weight cotton socks, removed the tags, and carefully tightened the laces before tying them. He stood up, shifting his weight, taking the measure of these new shoes.
"GSG9 model," Brother Man said. "Special police in Germany."
Tito positioned his feet shoulder-width apart, dropped his nano inside the neck of his T-shirt, took a breath, and back-tucked, the new shoes missing the bare bulb in the ceiling fixture by less than a foot. He landed 3 feet behind his starting position. He grinned at Bianca, but she didn't smile back.
"I'll go out for some food now," she said. "What would you like?"
"Anything," said Tito.
"I'll start loading this," said Brother Man, towing the pile of black packages.
Bianca passed him a fresh pair of gloves from her jacket pocket.
"I'll help," said Tito.
"No," said Brother Man, pulling on the gloves and wiggling white fingers at Tito. "You twist your ankle, sprain anything. Carlito have our asses."
"He's right,"
said Bianca firmly, removing her paper hairnet and replacing it with her baseball cap.
"No more tricking. Give me your wallet."
Tito passed her his wallet. She removed the two pieces of identification most recently provided by the family. Surname Herrera. Adios.
She left him his money and MetroCard. He looked from one cousin to the other, then sat back down on the mattress.